radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G. No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Still hanging out at Bobcat of Houston in Porter. Come on out, hang out with us. There's food, there's all sorts of contraptions that I know very little about, but I'll tell you what, they look cool and they look brand spanking new. So you got that here. We are talking about all things football as we get closer and closer to this weekend's football action. You got some big college football games. Texas is playing Vanderbilt. That's weirdly a big game. You got Texas A&M playing LSU, too. But for the Texans who play the Indianapolis Colts Sunday after a very disappointing last-second loss to the Green Bay Packers, the guy who everyone's asking questions about is Bobby Slowick. And, Joe, this guy is what among Texans going into Sunday's game?
The most important person, the most criticized person, the person that we're all focusing on the most this weekend for Bobby Slowick.
Under the most pressure?
Under the most pressure.
Wow.
Definitely under the most pressure. More than Kenyon Green. Like, Kenyon Green's Kenyon Green, right? Like, he doesn't fit into that category. We just talked about Tank Dell. And, like, while, like, he needs to be good, he needs to be better and contribute a little bit, like, it all falls back on Bobby Slowick. And I think, you know, before I even heard that for the first time that Bobby Slowick, I read a lot of them, but hearing how much he kind of fell on the sword, you know, this week when he met with the media about how much was on his responsibility and was his fault, it's definitely the pressure's on him. And it's number one, because if you look at the rest of this team, they're just disorganized. And the coach is the one who has to organize it. Like, they're saying it's a communication issue. That's a coach problem. So they keep telling us it's a coaching problem. So that's why I say he's under the most pressure right now of everyone on the Texans.
He was at his media availability yesterday, and he explained one of the biggest problems for the Houston Texans is something that we haven't been talking about. It's not the offensive line and their inability to stop stunts. It's something, honestly, that sounds very, very basic.
So, like, when we have if you have a play call that's fairly straightforward, that might not have a lot of demand on the quarterback or on other guys, a lot of times you're at the ball faster, the ball's being snapped faster, you're rolling faster, and then a lot of other times when the quarterback has a lot on his plate he has to handle, and that could be from a multitude of directions, it's going to take some more words, you know, so he's going to be in the huddle a little bit longer, and then when we break the huddle we got to make sure we're getting set so he can see it, because sometimes it's him just getting prepared for the play. Other times he might be going to a different play, depending on what our look is. Those demand strain, you know, in between plays in particular. I'd say our biggest thing is not necessarily from the huddle to the ball right now. It's getting into the huddle, you know. Like, when we get a play, when we make a play on offense, we have a tendency right now where we can get into the huddle later, even though CJ's ready. And that's been really a thing for us in practice this week, is, hey, we got to go from one play to the next, to the next, to the next. We got to keep that tempo up so we can do these things to help empower people to be in good positions.
This is fundamentals in the middle of the season for a team that features a lot of veterans on the offensive side of things. CJ Stroud, Kenyon Green, and Juice Scruggs are the youngest players. The rest of the offense features Stephon Diggs, I guess Tank Dell to a lesser extent, but Joe Mixon, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, Shaq Mason, who was with the Patriots. You would think that this stuff would not be anywhere close to a problem. And yet, this is seemingly one of many problems for a Texans offense that feels peewee-esque.
Yeah, like, is it a sense of urgency? Is it too much celebrating? Like what is the... Because he does specifically point out big play there, which I find interesting. But there was no big plays last week. Mm. So that's not a full-on excuse for last week's issues. But the fact that he's saying that CJ Stroud has the play and is ready, but then the rest of the team's basically just not there, like, I just cannot believe that an NFL team that, you know, it's still top six, I think it is, in Super Bowl odds to win the Super Bowl this year, is talking about getting into the huddle quicker and getting to the line of scrimmage quicker, so that way they can be more prepared and have more time to figure out what's happening in front of them. Because it does explain some of the issues that if you're having to rush up to the line of scrimmage, get down, you don't have as much time for everyone from Scruggs to CJ and, you know, to figure out what's happening on the defense in front of you. So it does explain some of the problems, but they shouldn't be problems. Like, they should not be problems.
These should be week one problems for a young team with a lot of young players. There's too many veterans for this to be an issue.
This is something you expect to hear from, like, the New England Patriots right now.
I know.
The Commanders, the Bears, like, the Broncos, teams with rookie quarterbacks.
And it doesn't seem like that's a problem for the Bears. Doesn't seem like that's a problem for the Commanders. For the Patriots, it's definitely a problem. There's a lot of problems going on up there. But that hasn't been the issue. And it's basic stuff like this can be fixed by the end of the year. But it's annoying that it hasn't by now. It's week seven. I can handle some of this slop the first four games of the year, which has essentially turned into the new preseason. I can't handle this. This is annoying to hear. And, okay, Bobby Sloak's open enough to tell us, hey, that's been the issue. And I'm sure some players were telling some of the reporters going into the Texans locker room that's been one of the big problems for this offense getting in its own way, not being able to figure out what's going on before the snap. But, I mean, it's stuff like crowd noise and getting out of the huddle slow that's affecting them. And that's not something I ever want to hear about an NFL operation having issues with.
Yeah, and when you go back to all the times that D'Amico Ryans has told us that it's the Texans got to stop beating the Texans, it's hard not to view them right now based on what they're telling us and what we're seeing, at least on the offensive side of the ball, is that they're a poorly coached football team. And that if Bobby Slowick had aspirations of being a head coach, he's not exactly giving the best resume building season right now.
Nope.
This stuff should not be happening. It's totally inexcusable, and it's all fixable, and it should be fixed this week then. Like, if you're willing to acknowledge it, because I do feel like that's one thing where, you know, when your offensive coordinator or coaches do publicly acknowledge a problem, and now that the fan base and the media is more hyper aware of what the problems are with your organization and your offense, like, now is the time where, you know, you have to actually fix it or they're going to start crushing you. Rightfully so.
More from Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, at his press conference yesterday. He also took ownership of the pass protection struggles on the road, but bear with me because you are going to be annoyed when he once again, just like Titus Howard, talks about crowd noise being an issue.
It's always a multitude of things. It's never just one thing, right? But, it's shown up probably about three times this year where we've had some issues in protection that are completely controllable. So, for me, that starts, like, with me. I'm not doing something right. I'm not coaching something right. I'm not saying things in a way that needs to be interpreted the way it needs to be interpreted. Because, honestly, the things that we missed in the game are things that D'Amico's been giving us day one in training camp. So it's stuff that I know they've seen and they've done and they've knocked out before. Obviously you're on the road, you're in Lambeau, communication's going to be hard. You got to strain in that regard, but we've been working on that part of it for 4 weeks. Like, we've been working on what it's like on a road game, even when we have a home game. We've been straining on silent. We've been going on silent cadence, even on weeks like this. So, I mean, that's been an emphasis for us. You see it in the pre-snap. Now we got to see it in the post-snap, and I got to find a way to get that out of our game.
Got to find a way. Got to keep working on it. Maybe 5 weeks of working on it will make all the problems better.
Well, have it figured out by Thursday, or at least by after Thursday, before you play the Lions.
And maybe that's why we're not seeing – I mean, that's where it goes back to, you know, even like the comments about potential change. Like, you're going to make changes. So you didn't make any changes. You've been working on the same thing for weeks. So, like, someone has to – figure out whether it's CJ Stroud, you know, Bobby Slowick, someone else, you know, it could be Ben McDaniels, it could be a random wide receiver coach, the offensive line coach, not the main guy, but it could be Cole Popovich. Like, someone's got to figure out a way to, whatever these communication issues are, they have to figure out how to solve them. Because if they're going to say that it's not a skill issue, and it's a on the road issue, which it's not, like that, I do feel like that's trying to give a pass to these guys that they don't quite deserve because they've been bad at home as well. But you, this stuff, you know, by the time you play the New York Jets on Halloween, which is your next like big road game where there's going to be a lot of crowd noise, you know, you can't have those issues anymore. So hopefully over the next 2 weeks it gets better, the next two games. But when you, or I guess this game, and then when you get to Halloween on Thursday, like, it's got to be even better than it is on Sunday.
It's weird, though. I mean, if you're going to make changes, make it this week instead of on the short week.
That's why.
You're going to wait till after the short week to do it?
Like, that's
what
when
happens
they would
if you
make
lose
them.
If you lose the next two, well, you're 5-4.
I know, but if you don't make them this week, you're right. They're not making them between now and Thursday.
Right.
They're not, you know, so they're not putting Kendrick Green in at left guard against the Jets.
I really don't get why nothing's happening this week. And I really am annoyed by yesterday, what the audio we played, where they're so optimistic that it's going to change. Like, sure. Yeah, they'll get better against a team that has DeForest Buckner on its front seven. Sure. It'll be fine. It'll be great.
We talked about the benefit of the doubt yesterday. Like, if the Texans deserve it, they deserve more of it yesterday before I heard Bobby Slowick speak. Like, the fact that they're acknowledging that it's taking weeks to fix it, simple issues, you now have lost the benefit of the doubt. Like, all that's gone.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We were at Bobcat of Houston up in Porter. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Up next, we pick the six best games of the weekend, and then we pick them against the spread. Stay put. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975, and guess what? You're going to get a doubling of your first deposit. Hope that you played yesterday, because MyBookie.ag has something awesome every single Thursday, a risk-free bet boost. If your bet hits, you win big. If it doesn't, no problem. MyBookie will refund your wager. And on top of that, there's bonuses, and it's not just for the new players. If you've already played on MyBookie, there are reload bonuses and referral bonuses if you want to get your friends to play. Go to MyBookie.ag, click on bonuses, and use promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George, 70s rock band or sports talk show?
Definitely sports talk. They can't sing.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one. Unbelievable. He is gone. Kiss McKinney goodbye.
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
There's six.
Pick six.
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
All right, six biggest games of the football weekend, and we pick them against the spread, live from Bobcat of Houston. Up in Porter, let's start with the first one. Formerly number one ranked Texas, now number five, taking on the Vanderbilt Commodores in Nashville. Coming off of that awful 30-15 loss to Georgia on Saturday that did not even feel that close. Texas, 18.5 point favorite.
Mm.
Sean Mapes has picked this game. Imagine him wearing his burnt orange steer hat as he does it, a foam one. He is picking Texas to cover. What say you?
I'm going to go Texas as well. Mr. Horns down, who are you taking?
There is a spiteful part of me that feels like a complete baby, because one of my friends saw me apparently drunkenly putting a horns down up. I don't remember doing it. I do not recall having horns down in front of that camera. However, Texas is winning this. It's Vanderbilt. Listen, it's a great school. Nashville's fun. Mm-hmm. It's been a fun year, and they beat Alabama. But this is the nerd school in the SEC. Texas should send them into the sun. If they don't,
Yeah, if you want to be the new Alabama, you got to, you know, You got to kill Vanderbilt.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Them the rules.
I'm intrigued by the spread in game number two of our pick six. LSU and Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a one-point favorite. So this is basically a straight pick-up game. Sean picked LSU. Huh. It's at Kyle Field. They're at home. I'm guessing that's why they're giving them the edge. I'm sure it's going to be loud as hell. It's a night game. Weather should cooperate. Joe, I mean, these are
Gosh, these are kind of Aggies. These are my Aggies
My kind of Aggies here.
I need Notre Dame to make the college football playoff, and A&M winning this game would go a long way for that.
You also hate Brian Kelly.
I also hate Brian Kelly, so gig him.
Wow, he even said gig him. And now he's doing the thumbs up on the YouTube and Twitch stream, which you can see live from Bobcat of Houston. Huh. All right, well, I mean, look, this is just setting up for a you-know-what, an Aggie pant poopage.
I know it is.
Go Tigers! Go Tigers! Go Tigers!
I am taking LSU here, but I'm partly doing it because I feel like I need to be different than you guys who are both... Oh, wait, no, Sean's taking LSU. So I just feel the need to be different than you. Joe wants this to go well for his beloved Aggies and for his beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Yeah. Speaking of Notre Dame, Notre Dame is taking on Navy. Where is this game taking place? It's not in Annapolis, right?
I don't remember, actually.
I'm not sure that this game has ever taken place in Annapolis. I was listening to a college football podcast earlier this week, The Solid Verbal, and they said that, for the most part, this is a game that is played on neutral site after neutral site, and as I am continuing to filibuster...
Oh, they're at MetLife.
They're at MetLife Stadium in New York.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So Notre Dame's playoff hopes are going to get ruined by that trash-ass field this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Can't wait.
So you're picking Notre Dame to lose.
No, no.
He's picking the Navy. In the Navy.
What is that, 13.5?
It's 14-point spread. Notre Dame is favored by 14. Sean is picking Notre Dame. Who are you picking?
Notre Dame. I'll never pick against my Irish.
Let it be known that Joe is a traitor to the United States of America, and so is Sean, by picking against our armed forces. I'm feeling our armed forces. Both of them are ranked Army, Navy. Let's find some oil, baby. They're ready to go. They're primed and prim. Let's hit it. Guess what I'm taking? I'm taking Navy to cover.
Oh.
Let's go, midshipmen. In the Navy. I don't know the rest of the words of the song. In the Navy.
We got the good part down, though.
Notre Dame can kiss my ass in the Navy. All right, another college football game. Oregon and Illinois. Oregon, 21.5-point favorites against the surprisingly ranked Illinois Fighting Illini. That's racist.
I'll go with the Illini this week. I'll take Illinois to
come out. Oh, wow.
They play some tough football. Oregon's been good.
Should be
obviously
the school you root for, dude.
No.
Yeah, you're from Illinois.
Yeah. Notre Dame's closer to where I live then.
Yeah, but you're in Illinois. You're not in Indiana, which is a better football team, too, this year. Incredibly.
That's
true. Big Ten has Indiana and Illinois as some of its best powers, while Michigan continues to flounder.
Yeah, Oregon just hasn't been, you know. They haven't blown anyone out this year. They've had some tight games.
They just beat Ohio State, though.
No, it's a tight game, though. No, they've been really good. But I just think Illinois keeps it within the 21. 21.5,
yes. Yeah. I'm taking Oregon to cover.
Where'd Mapes take?
Sean Mapes took Illinois. So there you go. There you go. All right, now we got to pick between two games because the NFL's got a rather light slate of fun games. You got Eagles and Bengals in the noon window. With the Bengals 2.5-point favorites, they're 3-4 now. The Eagles are 4-3. And then you could also pick the Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers, which you can hear on ESPN 97.5. 49ers are 4.5-point favorites. Between those two games, which would you pick to watch? Eagles-Bengals or Cowboys-49ers?
I think Eagles-Bengals.
I'm thinking Eagles-Bengals,
yeah,
too. Sean wanted to pick the boys' game.
Sorry, Mavis, you're not here.
He is not. So we will do Eagles and Bengals. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites, and as they always seem to do after a terrible first month of the year, they are playing better. Joe Burrow, statistically, one of the best quarterbacks in the game this year. I'm taking the Bengals to win this game and to cover by 2.5.
Same. I do not believe in the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that Nick Sirianni, you know, tried to do his little fun thing last week where he was respecting the game by trying to let Saquon Barkley set a personal record in rushing yards, and Saquon Barkley told him no. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah.
Napes took the Bengals too, right? So all on the Bengals?
Cincinnati Bengals, hear the victory. Here they come a prowling, mean and angry, an offensive brute. Run past or root. That's a real song.
I'll say, like, that's...
The Bengals have a fight song. By the way, Joe doesn't know the fight song to the Chicago Bears, but fine.
Or Notre Dame.
It's fine. Such a diehard fan, this one.
Yep.
At least learn the Aggie war hymn. Gilligamuck, Gilligamuck. Smokey the Bear is bigger than the average bear. Like, right? That's the fight song.
I can't learn the A&M one before I learn Notre Dame.
No. You've already jumped off the damn wagon.
I can't do that.
Just get your ring. Get your fake ring for $3.99. Get it over with. Join the cult. You just have to permit and, participate in a ritualistic blood sacrifice of some sort. And you're in.
Mm.
You're in.
What I'd sacrifice? Do you know?
Only Aggies know. You find out when you're there.
Okay.
That's how it works. It's something close to you gets killed.
We got friends we can call it.
That's why, the Aggies, they got those rings because they're sworn to secrecy because they all killed something. I made all of that up. Or did I? Texans, the Houston Texans, host the Indianapolis Colts. This series already over by halfway through the year. The Texans are 5-point home favorites. They do not generally cover, and Sean is picking the Colts to, at the very least, cover that 5-point spread. I do think 5 is a lot. I am with Sean here. I think that Indianapolis is going to cover.
You know what? They've covered the last 3 weeks. I think they're going to keep it going. I think Texans, I'll take the Texans -5 on this one. They covered against the Packers last week, they covered against the Patriots, and they covered against the Bills. So 3 weeks straight. Now they lost the previous 4.
Yeah,
but we're on a winning streak right now. So I'm gonna stick with the streaks.
You're gonna stick with the streaks.
So they
you're going streaking.
Going streaking, baby.
But not actually here at Bobcat.
No,
Houston.
No.
That would be frowned upon.
No, just that the Texans win by at least 6 points.
It's a fantastic spot, though. You know, come on out. If you're looking for all your equipment needs. I truly wish I could say anything more about it. Do you want me to read the copy and see how much of this I actually understand?
The logo is pretty sick.
The logo is pretty sick. It's feisty. It's the right tools to get the job done, from skid steers to track loaders. I do not know what those two things are. Excavators, attachments, and more. The rental fleet is stocked and ready for any project, whether you're digging, lifting, or clearing. Bobcat of Houston is your trusted partner in compact equipment. 9 locations. The newest is right here in Porter. We're going to be at the one in Lamarck next Friday. Bobcatofhouston.com. All right, so that's the pick 6.
I know what excavator is.
I do too, but I know that because my step-nephew and my nephew have both heard that god-awful song by Flippy. Yes. I'm an excavator. I'm sorry for any parents out there.
Hey, guess what? Listen to that this morning.
Is he in the excavator phase?
Yeah.
My godson / nephew, he FaceTimed me this morning, and he's in the sandbox. He's playing with his excavator. He's obsessed with trucks.
Yeah, we went to this like pumpkin farm while we were in Illinois, and they had this little like these like mini excavators where you were digging up like corn. It was just and he saw it and he was obsessed.
Yeah.
So we're in that phase too, right?
Okay, so it seems like every child about that age, you develop an identity that's based off of one thing, whether it's dinosaurs, construction equipment, cars that race, and I guess like firefighters.
Oh yeah, no, yep.
I guess that kind of counts as trucks.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, we're in that one too.
Yeah,
a little bit. So we had a big breakthrough last night, though.
You had a big breakthrough.
Yeah, Spider-Man breakthrough last night. I was very excited because it was like this like kid Spider-Man show on Disney Plus. I finally got him to watch it, and he was obsessed. I was like, "That's my kid. Give me some Spider-Man in my life."
Do you think I should sing ever again?
Yes.
I'm gonna read a text. Tell that inbred R word. Paul Gallant to stop singing into the effing microphone. All caps for effing microphone. He's making a mockery of your station. Shut the F up, moron.
Texts are wrong.
I kind of like the text, though. I want more spicy text like
I
that.
Like the aggressiveness of the text message.
Probably don't use the R word. That's frowned upon.
Yeah, we'll bleep it out for you.
I know, but it's making a comeback, but like,
yeah,
I do have the voice of an angel.
Yeah, no, you should always sing.
My mom
never
does
stop.
Say that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, sports, they're a thing, and we talk about them. That's why you listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sometimes we sing about them. It is Gallant and George. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You want to jump in, it's 713-780-3776. It's how you call, it's how you text. We are at Bobcat up here in Porter. A couple of things should be better for the Houston Texans in their second matchup against the Colts this year. One of them, I think, is already better. And I'm not talking about the offense, sadly. But I think the big thing that's better is this. It's you do not give up big plays in the same way that you did the first couple of weeks of the year. And it does feel like the last couple of weeks, the missed big plays by opposing quarterbacks have shrunk. Now, not by a lot. There's been near misses against the Bills, there's been near misses against the Jaguars, there's been near misses against the Colts. But I feel like, at the very least, as Kalen Bullock gets more and more acclimated to playing safety, they've been doing a better job there. And really, you want to talk about a play that, if it goes differently, we're talking about a Texans win on Sunday. The ball that went right through Kalen Bullock's hands. Incredible throw by Jordan Lovin that he was able to laser through that window. But, I mean, it really went right through Bullock's hands there. There haven't been as many of those big splash plays in the passing game allowed by the Texans defense.
Definitely think the defense looks better without Jimmy Ward on the field. Like, Bullock and Murray have done a really solid job back there. I can't believe Lasseter's already coming back. Like, the initial reports on the injury felt like he was going to be out for a lot longer than he missed, what, one game? That's it? And then sounds like he'll be back this weekend, so... I'm with you. Like the big play stuff is gone away, and without Jimmy Ward, it's gotten a little bit easier, it seems like, to avoid that. I don't know if it's the threat of Kalen Bullock, the speed of Kalen Bullock, because if you think back to the Colts game, like, they just got burned. I mean, those guys, Ashton Doolin, whatever his name is, was just running by the Texans defenders. So. Hopefully that can continue, because if Anthony Richardson can't beat you that way, he can't beat you. Like, he can't win over the middle and the easy stuff. He's not accurate enough.
Yeah, man. He just, for whatever reason, misses some real easy throws. And it's funny. I mean, he's perfect for a video game. It's sort of like J.R. Smith. Ever play NBA 2K, the basketball video game?
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Smith was Michael Jordan in that game. If you play with him, you knew how to work him. If you got the shot stick right using NBA 2K, you would go for 40 easily with J.R. Smith and be dunking from the free throw line half the time. I don't know why it was like that with him, but he was incredible. But in real life, I mean, there's just a lot of, like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
That goes on with him. And with Richardson, there's a little bit of that. Like, he has every single tool that you like, and if you had him in a video game, you're going to kill people. Because I doubt that they'd make him as inaccurate as he is in real life in the video game.
No. They're not that mean in video games.
Right, I know. Like, but he is unbelievable when it comes to missing open targets. And I don't know if it's ever going to get better. But, hey, look, if it does get better on Sunday, then he might continue to do what he's done against you. Because for whatever reason, even though he has struggled a lot in his career, and he was 19 for 19 in that first game of the year, Richardson's number against the Texans in six quarters, 5 total touchdowns, 9.2 yards a pass, a QBR of 90.1, remember that's on an 100 scale, and 10.1 yards a carry. That is scary.
It's unbelievable that he's had... Those are probably, I bet you, the only team he has played against that he has numbers like that against. I feel very confident making that wager. He does not have anything close to that against Jacksonville or Tennessee or just any one game he's played to have that good of numbers. I don't think he will continue that this weekend. Because he just looks worse and worse every week. He is totally incapable. Teams have taken away the deep ball. I mean, like that week after he played the Texans when he threw the ball 40-plus times against the Packers, it was a mess. And so, frankly, I'm glad Joe Flacco's not playing in this game. So,
well, with Richardson's injury luck, there's a very good chance that Joe Flacco finds his way into the game.
That's true.
Now, the last time you played against Flacco, for what it's worth, with the Browns in the playoffs, he did have a couple of nice plays early on in the game. Guess what? They were down the field. But you got the two pick sixes of him. One was by Steven Nelson, no longer with us.
R.I.P.
In terms of the playing as a player,
okay.
Right. He's not dead. And Christian Harris, who is no longer with us, but could be with us again someday.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Every week I'm like hoping, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Open that 21-day practice window.
That was your number one, one of your biggest Texans going into the year. And unfortunately, yep. Well, look, they haven't missed him that much for what it's worth.
No, they haven't, which is what's one of the things that's been impressive about this team. Yeah. Toto specifically. Because we knew Aziz was going to be good. Now, what he's overcome.
Aziz has been better than I thought, and he has been good.
He had that week where he puked for a week and lost 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
I mean, he forced a fumble after injuring his knee a couple of weeks ago. Now I just wonder about when he comes back. But Al-Shaair has been more than what I possibly could have hoped for to this point. I think he's been great. And I like this, for what it's worth, yes, there are some real problems on offense. The defense is in, I think, good shape. Are they great? No. Are they good? Yeah, I think they're good.
Yeah, they're definitely good. They don't belong in the great category. You're right about that.
They have a great pass rush, and they are generally effective against the run, though. Maybe the Packers expose something in a world where Mario Edwards is suspended for the next three games.
Hopefully DeNico Autry has an actual impact on this game.
I think it's going to take time, man. He's, mid-30s.
And yeah.
No offseason, no games.
Because it sounds like Jonathan Alexander put out a tweet 2 weeks ago. Not insinuating, saying that he was hurt, that Autry was hurt. Because he could have practiced the whole time that he was suspended in the offseason. He could have been out there for all of that, and he wasn't. But because he was suspended and he wasn't there, it's like people forgot. So then Jonathan Alexander put that out there that he was dealing with an injury. So you're right, like he's 30, dealing with something coming out the injury, coming out the suspension. But without Mario Edwards for the next handful of games, like you need Autry to do something for you. I at least want to notice him this weekend. I didn't even realize he was out there last weekend.
Yeah,
like I guess I didn't know his number, but like almost he needs to make, give me like one impactful play. I'm not gonna ask for a lot, Paul.
Just one.
Start slow. Go from 0 to 1.
0 to 1.
Yeah. Start slow.
Wait, 0.
He had no impact plays last week.
Oh, okay. One impact play. For some reason, I was like yards per reception, because that's what Stephon Diggs got last week. And all his receptions, other than that one 17-yarder.
Yeah.
Oof. Is there something? Is there a noise in the background? Do you hear that?
I think it's my headphones.
It's your headphones? I'm hearing it in my headphones too.
I think it's coming from the Comrex.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, fun.
Yeah,
okay.
Been buzzy, buzzy, buzzy.
Yeah, I know. I saw someone on the in the YouTube comments bring that up. I was like, oh, is this just me?
No, I think it's the comics, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry for taking you behind the kimono. We're showing you things you don't want to see. You're hearing things.
Do you have a kimono?
Not yet. I thought about buying one last year.
Can I get a preview of what's happening next week?
Monday
through Thursday?
Well, I don't think I'm going to dress up on Monday and Thursday, and I also don't think I'm going to dress up on Wednesday, because me, Mr. Rodeo Committee guy, I have a rodeo committee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wednesday. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I have to do work. I have to make sales calls. I don't know how good I'm going to do at that, but I will probably wear something on Thursday.
Okay.
Since we're going to be a Bobcat, I don't want to scare people away Friday in the Mark.
I mean, there's certain outfits you could wear that can make you fit in.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I think you will see something on Thursday,
okay.
Probably. But that's it.
All right.
That's all you get. The rest is for all of the fine people of and theoretical wives that I could find on 19th.
Now,
it's the most wonderful holiday of the year.
Now, I know off the air we had this conversation. Did you find... a more consensus amongst your friends and people that go out if Halloween weekend is this weekend.
They're telling me that it's this weekend, so apparently I'm in a costume tonight.
Okay, all right.
I got to figure that out. It's either going to be Rip from Yellowstone, or it's going to be Billy Butcher from The Boys. I haven't figured that out yet. I mean, it's hot as balls out these days.
It could be worse, but yeah.
For a late October, this is...
It's hot.
These are two costumes that are going
to
suck.
You were expecting it to cool off a little bit when you...
I hope so. That's what I mean, though. It's hot as hell, and I don't really want to put on these costumes because I'm going to be sweating bullets. Billy Butcher wears a Hawaiian shirt, but he wears like a trench coat, which I have.
And a toga.
Why would I go in a toga?
I don't know. Less clothing? Not as hot?
Well, the less clothing part is actually a good sell. You know, I have...
You know?
If I want to be like the absolute, let's just say, easiest
yes.
that I can be,
yes.
this is what this holiday is all about. It's about being easy.
Yeah, toga helps.
You know, that would help for sure. The Twitch is suggesting the white pants. No.
The white pants don't come out for Halloween.
No, we're wearing something much sluttier than that. Anyway, it's Gallant and George. We got some final thoughts on the Texans and Colts and everything else going on this weekend in the NFL next. And one all-time Baghdad Bob moment in sports media that we saw in a place that should know better by now. Plus a fun Gronk story and Paul Feinbaum getting mad at Paul Gallant on a phone call. That actually happened. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter.
Luda had some bangers. Roll out. Roll out.
What's wrong with it? Big hands?
I think so. I'm musically challenged, and I'm especially music video challenged. So I truly do not know what this music video was off the top of my head. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV until I finally did when I saw the Jersey Shore in college.
I know.
Not kidding on that front.
So, okay. So no candy.
Yeah.
No MTV.
Dude, I'm weird, man.
What else was not
allowed? You don't know this by now. Come on.
That's not a you thing, Paul.
No, it is a me thing.
That's parental control.
I should have found a way to sneak watch more things, and all. The only thing I could figure out how to do was South Park and Chappelle's Show. That's it.
My big one was like wrestling. My parents would not let me watch it. I found a way.
You know what? I kind of get why my parents didn't let me watch wrestling, having watched the Vince McMahon documentary.
Yeah.
Especially the Attitude Era.
Yeah, yeah. Crap. Like, no, dude, like,
how did they let kids watch that?
Yeah, teenage boy, and, like, they're doing, like, the bra and panties match. Like, heaven. Like,
it's a real thing they did.
Yeah, that's a real thing they did, and I was, like, 13 when they were doing
it. On national TV.
It was great.
I know a lot of people liked it. Okay, so Texans and Colts. I think they're going to give the ball to Joe Mixon a lot. I don't know that it's going to be quite as successful as it was week one, but that was an effective strategy. I think until you get Nico Collins back, you got to just help your offensive line out as best you can, and they clearly just stink in pass protection. The Colts are pretty good against stunts. I feel you're going to have to be conservative in this game, and I wonder if there's actual improvement this week. They've talked about it. And it's one thing to talk about it, but we're now 7 weeks into the year, and we have not seen the kind of improvement that they seem to believe wholeheartedly will happen without a change taking place on the field.
Well, maybe the change will be like hurry up. Maybe they'll go hurry up, and they'll just get back to the line of scrimmage, and they'll call the play from there, and then that way CJ can make his adjustments, and instead of having to huddle up every time, and maybe that'll be a change. Or they could surprise us on Sunday. Seems unlikely, but like we do see teams, you know, hide things from the media in the open portion of practices, and then when the media leaves, they change things up a little bit. And no disrespect to the locals, but not a lot of inside sources within the Texans building these days. So there is a small chance they surprise us on Sunday with the starting lineup, but I'll believe it when I see it.
I have a hard time thinking that they're going to change their practice entirely because of what's going on in the media available session and what's going on in the part of practice where the media is not there, because that would be rather disruptive. And with that in mind, I feel like it's going to be the same thing.
There's a lot of
extra work to be done. Now, again, there are some ex-Patriots here, and they were very paranoid. I'm talking about Nick Caserio, Shaq Mason, too. But I don't know that they're going to be so paranoid that they're going to make practice more difficult for themselves just because of the few people that actually are able to go there before the practice starts. I think they're going to roll with the same thing as last week, and hopefully it's just better. They're quicker out of the huddle, and they can actually talk to each other and communicate about the chaos that defenders have been throwing at them that's been very successful.
Yeah, the changes we'll see will just mostly be the performance. They're hoping that, like, that whatever they did and whatever they changed in practice this week, and maybe we viewed too much in that quote. Like, maybe D'Amico felt like he had to say that. I think it was a fair pressing of questions. He doesn't get a lot of those at this point. He doesn't get pressed hard by the media very often, if ever, at this point, it feels like. So I expect no actual changes. I'm still hopeful there will be, but you're right. We probably won't see it. But we better see actual changes in terms of success if they want to win this football game. Because even though Anthony Richardson is inaccurate, and at times he makes really bad and just bonehead passes, if C.J. Stroud's getting hit 15 times in this game, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
All right, let's do some garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Someone suggested I dress up as Batman for Halloween. No, I'd have to get rid of the beard. We got a mustache costume for next weekend, okay? So hold your horses. Syracuse football, good God. 3 pick 6s in one half. That was rough.
He threw 5 picks in the whole game.
I saw that. Kyle McCord threw 3 interceptions that were returned for touchdowns in one half. Thought Matt Schaub was bad. He outshobbed Schaub in just one half. Not great. This is garbage. Speaking of universities who have been embroiled in controversies related to assistant coaches doing inappropriate things, Syracuse was one. Penn State has another off-the-field issue going on. There are rape charges against several former Penn State players. This is how James Franklin handled his media availability when asked about those former players.
Guys, how we doing?
Good. This is obviously serious and sensitive. I know Greg read that, but we haven't heard anything from you on this.
John, we released the university statement. All right, do I need to read the statement again?
If you would like.
All right. Regarding the two former Penn State football players, we released a statement yesterday, and our program and athletic department will have no further comment. If you need the statement, please reach out to me or Chris.
Hey, guys, any questions?
James, at what point in the summer were you aware that these guys were not going to be on the team?
Again, guys, the university already released a statement. If you need the statement, reach out to me or Chris. We'll have no further comment.
Are there questions about this topic?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's so awkward.
I mean, you'd think at some point this school would learn.
Please keep your questions to Wisconsin.
Hey, guys.
He ends every single time he came back up to the podium, he said, hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Like he was starting over.
Like he was starting the whole thing over.
It's like that one teacher. You've seen that video?
Yeah.
Like the old guy walks in and goes, hey, guys.
Yeah, I guess so. James Franklin goes up to the podium once. As soon as that question is asked, steps away. Asked twice, steps away. Penn State assistant AD for football communications and content, Greg Kincaid, responds to the questions, reads the statement about former players Kavion Keys and Jameel Lyons. And, man, you would think Penn State would be better at this. Obviously, people who probably were there back in
when was it, 2011? God, mm-hmm. Such a long time ago. Led to Bill O'Brien coming here. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that this would happen again for them as well? This is a very bad way to handle this. You just got to answer the questions and say basically no comment. This thing where the guy is stepping away from the podium and letting the Baghdad Bob come in and answer questions and read a statement and get pissed off that people are asking about it, I think is ridiculous. Because we've had issues like this not too long ago at Baylor, for mm-hmm. example, where programs were having things go on. The coach doesn't have to answer any questions about that. And I get it. Like, hey, they weren't there, but generally you're made aware of these things by campus police and local police. And in these small towns, it's very easy to cover it up. So I think those are very fair questions.
Yeah, especially a school like that where even as the Sandusky stuff was coming out, the student population, the former student population, was chanting Free Joe Pa. And they were outside of his house cheering for him, even though they knew how bad it was. So, like, it's – and a shout-out to those reporters for, like, doing their job and not backing down. Make them walk away. Because, like, you just made yourself the story, James Franklin. Congratulations. Instead of just saying that these two guys, like, they are not representatives of Penn State football and what we want to represent, and we found out 3 weeks before the season started or whatever it was that they were being accused of this, and we kicked them off the football team, probably because that's a lie. Like, what I just said is probably not the truth of what they knew and didn't know, but uncomfortable to listen to.
Yeah.
Ugh. Garbage.
Garbage indeed. The amount of fights I got in with Penn State fans online in 2011, way too many. I spent way too much time.
I'm sure.
I was on the warpath against those people. Because one of them pulled a switchblade on me before a Syracuse-Penn State game in 2008. So.
Basketball game?
Football game.
Really?
Yeah.
At
Cuse? Pulled a switchblade out on us and said, oh, I'm from Philly. We know. We can tell. You have a switchblade. Trash. Paul Feinbaum had a very fun caller this week on his show, and it does sound like what I would have been if I never became a sports talk show host.
Paul, I watched, what's his name, Stephen A. Smith. He wants to keep crowing that Deion Sanders should be up for Coach of the Year. Will you shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
Hey, Vance, exactly who is there?
My damn cat.
Oh, okay.
It's my favorite call ever.
Anyway.
You could hear the meows.
They're loud.
Would you shut up? I'm trying to talk to the ball. I want that as a drop.
Yeah, we need that.
We need that as a drop. Anyway, for BMAC back in Mission Control, for Joe George, and for the fine folks here. At Bobcat of Houston in Porter, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
Will you shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
ESPN 97.5.